Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Satter, joined by my co-host, Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at EastSatter, and you can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also, make sure to follow our Locked On Suns Twitter page at Locked On PHX Suns. We do have some exciting developments on the Locked On Network. We do have some more NFL shows being added alongside college football. I'm a big fan of both, so if you want to go over there, make sure to support the Locked On Podcast Network. That'd be really appreciated. I love listening to a lot of the podcasts around the network, and outside of Locked On Suns, there's a lot of awesome ones as well, so be sure to tune into all those podcasts throughout the network. But let's get into our main takeaways of today's episode, which is the schedule release. We didn't talk about it on Friday because we had Nick Angstead of Locked On Mavs over to discuss the main matchup, the opening night game between the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks, DeAndre Ayton versus Luka Doncic. That's the main little takeaway there. But I want to go through month by month here. I have the schedule put up here on Bright Side of the Sun. October through April, we're going to go not game by game, we're just going to go through each month and pick out just sort of like our main games we're looking for, our main stretches, because there's a lot of interesting little bites of information throughout the Suns' 82-game rigor this year. They have 12 back-to-backs, 8 before the All-Star break, which is tied for the lowest in the NBA. Only 3 nationally televised games, though, which is really surprising to me. They had one less than last year, and only 2 on TNT, 2 on ESPN and 1 on TNT. The first game obviously will be the Mavericks and versus the Mavericks, and they will also have, I think, 2 weeks later on Halloween night, the San Antonio Spurs. So that'll be the end of the Phoenix Suns ESPN schedule. The TNT game is still to be determined, it seems like, because they have not released their schedule yet. But LeBron James' first visit as well, if you guys are interested, he'll be in town in the Los Angeles Lakers in the second home game of the season on October 24th. And the Golden State Warriors, defending champions 2 of the last 3 years, they will be in town on New Year's Eve, so that should be a really fun matchup. But another interesting little tidbit is the Phoenix Suns have 5 road trips spanning at least 3 games, 3 of which are 4 or 5 games, and they also have a 7-game homestand at the end of December going into January. So, Brendan, let's dive through really quickly. Let's go through October. But really quickly, I'll go through just game by game, and then we'll have our takeaways from it. October 17th against the Dallas Mavericks, October 20th at the Denver Nuggets, October 22nd at the Golden State Warriors, home against the Los Angeles Lakers, as I mentioned. The 27th at Memphis, 28th at Oklahoma City, which is the first back-to-back for the Phoenix Suns. And on Halloween night, like I mentioned, the second ESPN game for the Phoenix Suns. So if you're looking at the entire 15-game schedule, which goes into November there, they have a really rough start, Brendan.
Yeah, it's that first back-to-back is where my eyes go. The Warriors games, you hate to see, but that's our division, right? So the Suns are going to have to play those teams, the Lakers and the Warriors. They're going to have to play them. It doesn't bother me too much to see them on the first week because they always seem to play the Warriors the very beginning and then the very end of the season. Although they do have that, like you mentioned, the New Year's Eve game, which was fun. I remember last year that was the Sixers and you and I were both there, and the crowd, I think, shows up that night because everyone's out on Christmas vacation from work and school and all that. So that should be fun. But that first back-to-back in October is where my eyes go. And that Grizzlies-Thunder back-to-back, the Grizzlies, who knows what their season will be like, but they should be healthy at least by what that's game 5 for the Suns. It should be pretty early in the Grizzlies season as well, of course, and that one is going to be pretty devastating. And then you don't get much of a reprieve because on either side of it, you have the Lakers and the Spurs. So really, I mean, honestly, it just goes to show how deadly the West is going to be, honestly.
Oh, it's going to be an absolute rigor for the Suns to get through because the Western Conference, even though the Suns made some appearances this year with Trevor Ariza drafting DeAndre and Mikal Bridges, Eli Okobo, the Western Conference got even stronger in the same time. So it's going to be a really rough stretch for the Phoenix Suns, at least through the first part of the season. But what's your, I guess we can go with record predictions too. Do you feel like out of those 7 games there, 8 games, excuse me, I'm sorry, 7 games, what do you think about how the Suns will do in that stretch? Because out of that, I really honestly, if the Memphis Grizzlies are bouncing back to what I think they will be, I really don't see more than a win for the Suns in the first month of the season in October.
Yeah, I could see, between Memphis and San Antonio, I could see them winning one of those, maybe even Denver. You know, they're going to win some of those West games. They're not going to lose to every single West team that's better than them all year. Maybe I would say the Spurs just because it is at home, although they were pretty bad on national television last year, and they did have that infamous Spurs game where the Spurs doubled them up 100-50. last season at home. So, you know, it's tough to be optimistic looking at last season, but I would say, on average, if you run that 7 games, I'd say they win 2.
Okay, so we're pretty much on the same page there. They'll start off either 1-6 or 2-5, which I think is pretty realistic for the Suns this season to start off at least. But November, I'm not going to go through all 15 games here, but they do have a 5-game stretch if you're including the Spurs on Halloween night. They do start off with Toronto, Memphis, Brooklyn, and Boston. Then they do have a stretch where they play the Spurs and the Thunder on the 14th and 17th. But then pretty much the rest of the month, Brennan, they are on the road. So, and it's against really good teams too outside, maybe Chicago and really outside of Chicago and really Brooklyn at home, which I think should be a really close game as well. Possibly Orlando on the 30th as well. This could be a really tough month for the Phoenix Suns too.
Yeah, and they do have the Kings at home in there, I believe. Sorry. It's the Spurs. But it's November is the bad one. That's the month that I looked at initially. October's rough too, just because there's less games, you know, and 3 of them are at home. But that 4-game road trip on the East Coast, even though they do play Detroit and Chicago, who, you know, they could easily be either of those teams on any given night. Just the fact that it's in the middle of a road trip where they're playing every other night throughout the entire thing, it's devastating. And then they have the Thunder twice in a week in that month. They play the Celtics, the Raptors, the Pacers, who could be, you know, easily could be 1, 2, and 3 in the conference over in the East. So November is the one that my eyes went to right when the schedule got released. Just worried about it, and it sucks that they're going to have those 2 months with so many Eastern Conference games and so many games against the best in the league right away to start the year. That's it's rough, but it's nice that they do get that national TV spotlight so early on. It makes sense that the networks would do that because they want to get the Suns on TV because they do have DeAndre Ayton and they have Devin Booker, and every team has to get on TV once in a while, but they're going to have to overcome this first couple months if they want to get back in the spotlight whatsoever for the rest of the year. Because if they emerge from those first 2 months, which is like 15 games or so, or no, a little more than that, 20 or so games with, you know, less than 8 wins or something, like, it's going to be rough. And it's not the way you'd like to see a young team start the season at all.
Oh, for sure. I think the schedule makers kind of did the Suns dirty a little bit. Obviously, the Western Conference is tough. They have a lot of Eastern Conference games in here as well, but they really stacked the deck for them, at least early on. And luckily, the schedule gets a little bit easier once the season gets deeper into the season. But as far as record prediction,
it is cool, though. It's cool that we're getting so many, I mean, just from a coverage standpoint, or, you know, just from a fan perspective, too, even, like, getting so many of these teams with pretty big storylines to watch early in the year coming through Phoenix, that's nice for fans, getting an opportunity to see LeBron first thing. Kawhi Leonard coming to town with the Raptors. Obviously, the Celtics are going to be stacked. So there's some fun games at home in the stretch, too. You know, it might not be the most competitive like we want it to be to see this team do well. But at the same time, there are going to be some fun matchups really right away for fans to go see. So that's cool, too. I mean, we can't just be like, are they going to win? Are they going to lose? There's going to be more of a reason for Suns fans to come out this year too, because I do think these games, even if they lose a lot of them, they're going to be more competitive, right?
Oh, for sure. I definitely agree with that. Like you said, the first 4 home games, Dallas, Lakers, Spurs, Raptors, that's a really fun 4-game stretch to open the season, at least for the fans and media perspective. But from that standpoint, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you, do you see any sort of games like we saw last year with Triano and Earl Watson that they could be like 20-plus point blowout losses? I really feel like you said, they're going to be more competitive. I feel like, honestly, there might be some like 20-game losses sprinkled in, but I don't think we see like the magnitude of how just awful the performance was last year that we see again this year.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you think about one of those was to the Clippers last year. The first opening night was the Blazers. Those weren't even teams where you would have looked and thought, after those first 3 games, the Suns are going to be just completely completely destroyed. If that's what honestly made it so bad, was it wasn't like they played the Warriors, Cavs, and Celtics back to back to back or something to start the year. So I don't think you ever can expect that bad. But the fact that they do have Denver, Memphis, even their East Coast games you mentioned, they play the Nets at home, they play the Magic at home. So every team has to play these teams in the West, right? Like, it's not like the Suns are unique in that perspective, but it certainly doesn't look great to start the year.
Oh, no, for sure. Luckily, like I mentioned, it does lighten up a little bit as we get into 2019. But as far as an early prediction goes, currently I have 1 win, you have 2 wins. How do you see it going for November? Because on my schedule here, I feel like even though it's a tough month, they do have a lot of home games, and I feel like they could, with just the talent on the roster compared to last season, I think they sneak in a couple road wins here, maybe at New Orleans. I think they'll win at Chicago, at Detroit. I think they'll win possibly at the Clippers too. I could see almost a 500 record here in November. I'd say 7-9.
Ooh, I'm lower than you. I would say that they maybe 4 or 5 games in November. It's brutal to go on an East Coast trip that early with a young team. I think that's what makes my expectations a little bit lower. I think they should and could win against the Bulls and Pistons, but betting on them to do that with only, you know, a training camp and a couple weeks together as a team, that worries me. But there are winnable games in there, so it's somewhere between where I am and where you are, I think.
Now let's flip to the December here as well, and it's kind of an interesting little month here because they have a 5-game road trip sandwiched in between a homestand, which I find really interesting, and it's some really good teams on here as well. I'll just go through it really quickly. At the Lakers, Kings, at Portland, Miami, Clippers, Spurs, Dallas, Minnesota, at New York, at Boston, at Washington, at Brooklyn, at Orlando, then OKC, Denver, Golden State to finish off the 2018 calendar year. So I think the last three games are really rough, even though it's a homestand. But another East Coast road trip for the Suns right after they just finished one up 2 weeks ago. So that's another really interesting quirk in the schedule.
Yeah, nice that they have on those 5 games. It's 5 games in 9 days. That is a little bit of a reprieve for them going out of town again, like you said, right away after the brutal November stretch too. But you know, they also in this stretch have a back-to-back with the Thunder again, and I expect the Thunder, especially during the regular season, to come out guns blazing. They're a team with a lot of guys who have that prove it kind of mentality where they're gonna, I feel like, get out really strong early in the year. And the Suns play them all four times that they're going to play the Thunder is before the first of 2019. That's pretty rough, and two of them are in back-to-backs. So yeah, it's brutal. It's the West again. That's really, I'm hate to keep hammering it home, but even with those East Coast trips, those are almost, you know, taking it a game by game. Some of those individual games are almost nice, even though I did just say it, I don't trust the Suns to handle the traveling really early in the season all that well. Like, you go and you play Brooklyn and then Orlando, it doesn't even matter road or home, you're appreciating those games when you get them.
Oh, definitely. I think that's the really tough thing about the Suns' schedule this year. Are you in agreement here that really the Suns have to capitalize, even if it's a road stand where they're on the road on the East Coast, they have to take advantage of the Eastern Conference this year if they want to have any chance of really just going up the ladder a little bit in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I mean, they have to beat the teams, the way I look at it, they have to beat the teams that are definitively less talented than them, and that, or I guess maybe you can't say many teams are definitively less talented, but they have to beat the teams they can beat, and most of those are in the East. So even though you have to go on the road to play those teams, for the most part, especially early in the season, that's how it broke for the Suns, you can't lose those just because of the excuse of being on the road if you're going to be competitive at all. And obviously they want to be. So, you know, they're going to have to beat the Chicagos, the Brooklyns, the Orlandos of the league if they're going to have any chance.
Now, I might be generous here with the schedule as far as December goes around these 15 or so games. If I'm being correct, I think it's around 16 or 17. But I'm being generous here and saying I think 6 wins is a possibility, and that puts my total at 14 wins entering into 2019. From a fan standpoint, I think that's kind of a disappointment to have under 15 wins in the first 3 months of the season. But like we've been mentioning, the Western Conference is such a gauntlet this year. I think it's actually kind of realistic for them to have this slow of a start.
Yeah, I think I have, just kind of counting up quickly, I'm sure there's some weird back-to-back stuff or a beatable team on the road that I'm missing somewhere along the line. But I have 11, maybe 12 wins going into the first of the year. So, yeah, I mean, it really is just how it goes. But to mention really quickly, Jared Dubin, he's at JADubin5 on Twitter. He's the best guy to follow And his tweets aren't too old about the schedule release. There's still a bunch in his feed. If you go there, look up, just he posts a bunch of month by month strength of schedule, the rank in the league of each team's month from a expected win percentage perspective. So all that stuff. And he has the Suns he uses like projected wins game by game is kind of the way that he does it. So the win percentage for the Suns all year long, the opponents, if they were one team, is 52%. And they're at, that's the second hardest schedule in the league. And that's just brutal. But again, that's the West. And the thing with bad teams is the Suns don't get to play themselves, you know, so they're going to be pretty bad and they don't get to play themselves. They replace that with all the rest of the teams in the West. Whereas somebody like the Lakers, they get to play the Suns four times. That by default makes their schedule a little easier. So there's some noise there for that number, but it's pretty awful when you just see it 52% on average for the teams the Suns are playing all year long.
It's crazy to think about that the Suns last year had the worst record, and they obviously didn't have the toughest schedule, but now they obviously have more talent due to that part with DeAndre and being drafted number one. You'd hope that number goes up a little bit. But looking at December, I really don't see much as far as that goes with wins. So like we've been mentioning, around 11 to 14 wins might be the realistic barometer for them. But January, let's go to January really quick, and I think it's another tough...
Another road trip.
Yep, another road trip. And it's kind of an interesting one here. It looks like 7 out of 9 games to finish up the month of January. And it's back-to-back once again, like last year. In I think it was January as well, where they had Minnesota on a back-to-back home and road stand. So what do you think about the month of January for the Suns?
Yeah, the 7 and 9 was something that I didn't notice at first glance, because my first look over was really just, okay, what are the longest stretches at home and away? Who are the opponents? Where's the back-to-backs? All that kind of stuff. And then I went to Twitter to kind of tweet out my initial takes, and then saw a bunch of people honing in on this stretch in January. 7 of 9 on the road, and luckily they're avoiding the very, very best teams in the league. But, you know, Toronto, Indiana, the Lakers, and Denver, all on the road. They do get Charlotte twice in the same month, in the same couple of weeks, really, which is bizarre, but that's not really doing much because the rest of their schedule is pretty brutal. So we keep saying it gets better, but now we're 4 months in and it's not really better. So maybe we just need to face reality that this is pretty, they got stuck with a bad schedule. I don't know if that's even the right word, but it's just, it doesn't look great. You go month by month like this, which I hadn't done until now, and oof.
Yeah, the talent factor on the Suns, I think Ariza, Ayton, Bridges, another lead four from Booker, they're going to have to at least put some of these wins together to really go up the ladder of the Western Conference, because like we're looking at right now, in this month stretch, I have, including the 7-game homestand starting December 28th going through January 8th, I'll read off those really quickly: OKC, Denver, Golden State, Philadelphia, Los Angeles Clippers, Charlotte, Sacramento. I do see them starting off hot in January. I could see 4 straight wins, to be honest, in January. I think they could sneak a win against the Sixers just because those are always good games. They play them competitive, at least. And I think Charlotte could be one of the worst teams in the NBA alongside Sacramento, even though they did try to improve this year. I could see them getting 4 straight wins to start off January, but then after that, it gets really rough to the point where I could maybe see 1 or 2 more wins out of this 7 out of 9 road game stretch. So I'll be generous again. And that's kind of sad saying I'm being generous here, but 6 out of 16 for the Suns, putting my total at 20 wins through 4 months of the season.
Yeah, I would say they're probably going to beat Charlotte twice. I would say they will, they'll win one of the Sacramento and Dallas games, even though it is a back-to-back. I imagine they win one of those two. That's honestly all that I would say. So I would give them 3 wins for that month, and I'm at 14 through 4 months of the year. So yeah, I mean, I think they will bag some more, and I'm probably being overly pessimistic. Like I said, we can't see if the Suns have 2 days of rest and they're playing a team on a back-to-back or something like that. We don't see that stuff just looking at it from the Suns' calendar. So there's going to be more wins than 14, but just going, like, who could they beat? Who could they not beat off the top of my head? The league is getting so good, and there's so many young cores that you can't just dismiss, even though the Suns have improved. That's where I'm looking at it from. But hey, with those Charlotte games, though, on a positive note, to try to add some positivity here, the the Sun, you know, Suns fans, January looks like January 6th. Suns fans are going to have a chance to go see future Sun Kemba Walker here at Talking Stick Resort Arena. So that'll be fun. Get a look at him before maybe they cash in and get him in February or July. That'll be nice. One last look at him in the wrong colored jersey if Suns fans are thinking Kemba's coming to town.
Yeah, I'm going to keep banging that drum about Kemba Walker. It just seems like the most realistic possibility over the next 360.
You're going to come cheer the hell out of him then when he comes on January 6th if you want him in town. So that game better be randomly packed and just confuse the team why you're there screaming your asses off. But it's going to be a good game, hopefully, because the Suns can win. So, yeah, make Kemba feel wanted in Phoenix if you want him in Phoenix.
That's actually a good idea, fans. If you're listening to the podcast, go January 6th to help support future Phoenix Suns point guard Kemba Walker. But let's go to February. It's a really light month because of the All-Star break. But going through really quickly, February 2nd against Atlanta, the 4th against Houston, 6th at Utah, the 8th versus Golden State. Then they actually end the month of February on a 5-game road trip again. Sacramento, Clippers, Cleveland, Atlanta, Miami. Right away, I have to say those last three games, maybe even the last four or five games, even though it's a road stand again for the Phoenix Suns, they have to take advantage of that.
Well, and the All-Star break's in there too. So they'll come back to Phoenix and then they'll leave again. They have 3 days after the All-Star festivities end because of that elongated break that they instituted a while back. So yeah, now we're starting to get to the point where I feel like they'll back some wins. So they have 9 games in February. I could see them winning like 5 or 6 of those games. They do play Houston and Golden State, but I think every other game is winnable. They do play the Jazz away. Maybe that one's not so much, but we should probably go to March before we run out of time here. So they have home 4 games, a little nice stand there. Pelicans, Lakers, Bucks, Knicks, all at home. And then they play back-to-back Portland, Golden State, couple nights off, home for Utah. That should be fun. That game last year was pretty energetic with the Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker stuff going on kind of at full peak at that point. And then they have back-to-back Houston and New Orleans, home Chicago, Detroit, at Sacramento and Utah, and then home Wizards and Grizzlies. That's kind of odd there. Like, they have a lot of stretches of consistent, they're either on the road or at home. That's kind of nice, I feel like. If I was, you know, playing, that seems like it would be what I would prefer. But, I mean, I know that players hate long road trips. I wonder how they would feel about, like, you know, right at the beginning of the month, they have 4 straight at home over the span of 6 days. That would be nice for me. That way you're not, you know, back and forth. You get some time with your family at home. So maybe that's one of those conceptual things that we wouldn't think about that might actually help them in March, even though they do have a couple back-to-backs.
Yeah, I think at this point of the season, I think the roster could be really gelling together, especially if they do, like we were saying, if they make a trade deadline move for Kemba Walker to add to the point guard position instead of Brandon Knight. If you add him along Ariza, Ayton, Devin Booker, I think they're going to start spinning off a little bit more wins at that point because they have a consistent quality point guard.
And you do start to rack up wins toward the end of the year with other teams tanking. And it remains to be seen whether the Suns will be in that position. We both assume they won't be, but even if they are, you start to have some games, some teams that are just messes. 10 days and, you know, 2-way call-ups start to be more of a factor like we saw last year here in March. So, and they play a lot of Eastern Conference teams this month. So, again, like February for me, I could see them easily getting 5 or 6 wins in March.
I'm in agreement with you on that as well. I think around 6 wins is realistic. So that brings my total from February with 25. I'd jump up to 31 at this point. So heading into April with 31 wins, I think is actually really optimistic on my part. But how do you think you'd be standing as far as that goes heading into the last 5 games of the season in April?
I think quickly adding up where I am at is 26 wins. So that's a little more on track with what I assume they'll do on the year. And then they only have 5 games in April, no back-to-backs, just every other night from the 1st through the 9th, it looks like. They have Cleveland, Utah, New Orleans all at home, and then they end the year on the road. So you got to get to that Friday, April 5th game against New Orleans to see their last home game. And then they're at Houston, at Dallas. So that's a brutal stretch. They probably beat Cleveland at home, but then 4 straight Western Conference games. And then Dallas, you'd think they'd be winnable, but that's on the road too. So Nothing, no favors there to end the year, but I'm used to that. The Suns tend to play, they rack up the last of the West games they need to get in their schedule. The league always seems to have them play just five or six straight Western Conference games. They played, I mean, if you remember, they played the Warriors twice in April this past year, so that's expected, I guess. And I would say they probably only win one there, so I'm at 29.
I'm actually as well in agreement with you there. I think they win the first game of the month against Cleveland. I think they're going to be full on tanking at that point. I expect Kevin Love to be dealt in February, even though he just signed his max extension. I think towards like Blake Griffin, like last year, with once he signed his max extension with the Clippers, they dealt him right away to help their tanking efforts. I think Cleveland's going to do the same to help get a star around Colin Sexton for the future. But outside of that, Utah, New Orleans, Houston, Dallas, I don't see a win, even though I think all four of these teams are going to be really in the midst of the playoff push. So I don't think they're going to be tanking at all. So I expect four straight, even though it's kind of disappointing, I expect four straight losses to end the season for the Suns. And that puts my year total, which I think is actually realistic from where we were talking on the podcast throughout the last month or so, 32-50 for the Phoenix Suns. What do you think?
Yeah, that's reasonable. I think that's, you know, I'm at 29, and I think on average, just talking to you over the past couple months through the draft and free agency, I do think I'm slightly lower on my expectations from a record standpoint. So I guess that bore out where I'm around 28, 29, you're 31, 32. I think that's pretty representative, even though, like I said before, there's some of these secrets where, like, Denver on some random night, okay, well, they just flew from New Orleans overnight and come to play the Suns or something. But yeah, that's funny how that worked out pretty well for what we both think.
Now, I'll end on today's pod with this question because we're both draft Knicks and we love talking about the draft in advance. Obviously, this is really far out, but what do you think? We'll sandwich our prediction in the middle there. You had 29, I had 30, 32. Let's just go 30 wins. Where does that put the Suns as far as the lottery odds, you think?
That's about, I mean, I've been saying this all along. I think they'll be not the very end of the lottery, but somewhere around 9, 10, 11 seeding-wise. And like I've said before, I think the Knicks were at 29 or 30 wins this past season, and they were, of course, number 9 and picked Kevin Knox. So I think that does bode well. I think usually 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 is where you start to worry that you're not going to get a difference maker. But, I mean, we saw, like, just to use that same example, Kevin Knox was pretty excellent in summer league and looks pretty good. So you can still get a good player there. Mikal Bridges, who the Suns ended up with on their own, was a number 10. So I don't think the caring about the draft is gone, which is lucky for you and I. Like you said, we love to talk about that stuff. But, one more year in the lottery is not a terrible idea. That means our pick is a little more valuable for trade purposes, and that means there's potential to add a guy who maybe makes it so that we're not looking at 30 wins for the umpteenth season when we do this in 2019, not to get too far out of ourselves.
Yeah, going through month by month, that was kind of an interesting exercise there, looking at it with that sort of standpoint, because I think it's kind of realistic going month by month, because you can see just these exact road trips and homestands and who you think will be in the playoff contention will be tanking. So I think we're both in agreement around, Brennan had 29 wins, I had 32 wins for the Phoenix Suns. So somewhere around that 30 win range is realistic for the Phoenix Suns this upcoming season. But I appreciate you guys listening on today's podcast. We'll be back with you on Wednesday for episode 300 of Locked On Suns.